was given a vote of no confidence, a unanimous vote of no confidence. The dean asked him to resign, and he did. But he stayed on his tenured position. He'd come in with a tenured position, which is a thing that I never did. So for a while, I don't think I went through this with you. Did I tell you that they formed a committee to try to find one of their own people?
I don't think so.
McKinney asked them to, the architecture faculty, get together and decide on who would be acceptable on their own faculty. So they got together and they decided four people. Peter Batchelor, Roger Clark, Michael Paws, and Paul Tazar. They would be acceptable as program directors. So they had a meeting, and I attended this meeting, and they asked the four of them one at a time if they would accept it, and all four of them turned it down. They wouldn't take it under the conditions under which it was set up, and they wouldn't take it under McKinney. So it was agreed that Roger Clark and Peter Batchelor would accept memoranda from the architecture faculty on what it would take to make the job acceptable to the faculty. And 13 and a half pages of material came in, and Clark and Batchelor boiled it down to 3.5 pages and put it in order and brought it into McKinney several weeks later. And McKinney read it, and he got redder and redder. Pretty soon he stood up and he said, this makes me angry, and I'm insulted by it, and this meeting is terminated. And they waited, this was in April, they waited in May, so McKinney would call them back and negotiate. Then waited into June, no call. July, no call. August came and school started, and they had a faculty meeting, so somebody brought it up. Well, what are we going to do? We gave you a memorandum, and I said, what's going to be acceptable to you? It's got to be compromised in some way. McKinney says, well, I read it when you brought it in April, and I got angry. He says, I read it in May, and I got angrier yet, and read it in June, and I got even more angry, and July, even more angry. Says, I'm still angry about it. And so they looked like they had reached an impasse, and so they agreed to put in a temporary person. They put in Linda Sanders, who was new there. She'd been there for only 1 year, and decided to put her in because she was the youngest one. She didn't have any enemies yet, and it was improbable that she'd be appointed a permanent program director. And so she went in and was sort of a caretaker, got the paperwork done and so forth. They've had vacancies all along, and they never fill their vacancies because they offer the job to people turn it down. And I think they had as many as 3 vacancies last year that had to be filled by part-time people because they couldn't find people that would. And if anybody gets in, the faculty decides they want anybody. It's always they get in by a 7-6 vote or an 8-5 vote. They never find anybody that they want unanimously. So they form another committee and they really don't get anybody that's any good. By an 8-5 vote, they elect Harms. Harms was an assistant professor at Cornell, and he had been given notice that he'd been there for 7 years, and he was on up or out. He had to be promoted to associate professor or terminated, and so they terminated him. So here we have a reject from Cornell. We appoint him as an associate professor down here on a 5-year appointment with the idea that he's going to be renewed at the end of, he's going to be reviewed sometime during the spring of his second year. Well, the faculty started on McKinney in February to review arms. It was pretty definite that they didn't want to keep him. And so Harms knew it was coming up, and he got McKinney to agree to eliminate Michael Paws and Wayne Taylor from the architecture faculty, although Wayne Taylor is an associate professor of architecture and has a degree in architecture, but he was teaching in design fundamentals. And so they split all the faculty up into all these segments, and they say that Paws and Taylor no longer on the architecture faculty, that gets rid of two people that are going to vote against Harms. And so where the faculty had 20 in architecture when I retired as dean, they're now down to 14, and then they eliminate these two and get it down to 12. So finally, McKinney puts it off and puts it off and puts it off, and finally after school's out, after commencement, the faculty's supposed to be here for 3 or 4 days after commencement, they have a meeting. No, it's the week before commencement. It's the Wednesday before commencement. They have a meeting, and without McKinney, and they can't come to an agreement, and so they agree to come again back in the afternoon at 2:30, and they ask McKinney to come in, and they argue again, and they get a 6-6 vote to let Harms go. And he's got 6 votes to let him stay one more year, and 6 to let him go right then. And so McKinney encourages Harms that he's got a vote of confidence, and he permits him to stay, and Harms is staying. So two of the faculty that voted to give him one more year got together with one of the persons that had voted to let him go, and the three of them went in to see Harms, and the two that voted to give him one more year said, "We didn't give you a vote of confidence. We tried to protect you so that you could resign, and it would be on your record that you resigned, and you could look for another job without having the stigma on you of being kicked out." Well, that doesn't affect Harms, and Harms says, well, he's going to stay. And he wants to know what he can do to make himself acceptable to the family. And about the only thing he could do would be to drop dead. He really is an idiot. Peter Batchelor says that he's absolutely the worst administrator that he's ever run into. He just doesn't know how to deal with people. He's an Englishman. There are a lot of damn fine Englishmen, and a lot of Englishmen who could be and are good administrators, but being an Englishman has nothing to do with it. He's been in this country long enough, married an American girl, has some ability, she's a dancer. But their Harms is with the faculty wanting to get rid of him, 6 of them voting to give him one more year, and the dean asking him to stay. The accrediting committee is going to come up next year, next spring, and I think McKinney wanted somebody in there. But nobody can hide that from the accrediting committee. Some of the accrediting committee is going to interview the faculty one by one, and some of the faculty are going to tell them what's happened about Harms, and Harms is unsatisfactory. My belief is that they're a whole lot worse off when the accrediting committee comes with Harms in there than they would be if they didn't have anybody. Mm-hmm. But there he is. So that's the story. One thing I should tell you, you should know. When McKinney read that 3.5 pages of memorandum that Batchelor and Clark brought to him, he said, "This makes me angry and I'm insulted." He went a little further, and I left this out, and you should know this. He said, "If the faculty in architecture want to make themselves an adversary to me, you underestimate the dean." And at that point, he said, "This meeting is terminated." He wanted to let them know that he was strong over in Holiday Hall. Winstead is backing him up. Joab Thomas is backing him up. And apparently, that's all he needed. Mm-hmm. So he doesn't need the support of the faculty as long as he got Winstead and Thomas. Now, if Winstead goes in, he's set for another 20 years, I assume. Mm-hmm. So I think you got the story there now on what's, on how architecture is being dismantled.
Mm-hmm.
Architecture is being dismantled. I used the term when you were out here the other day. It's in a chaotic state of disarray.
Mm-hmm.
In the process of dismantling architecture in order to build up landscape architecture,
right.
Architecture is being dismantled. And so the people on the faculty just, they don't even want to go around there this summer. They go in and get their mail at night.
Mm-hmm.
When the student union came along, which was later called the Erdahl-Cloyd Union, the commission to do the building was given to William Dietrich, who had done the arena with Matthew Nowitzki. And after they did the arena, Dietrich asked Nowitzki to help on several things on the student union. And they were having trouble with Dave Clark, who wanted it to be a Williamsburg building. And we were trying to do modern architecture on the campus at this time. So Matthew Nowitzki was called in, and Dietrich asked him to make some sketches, and Nowitzki was very adept at making fast and very beautifully drawn freehand perspective drawings. And so the location, I don't think, was ever in ever a point of contention, but the appearance and the expression of the building was, and Clark wanted to be a Williamsburg building. And so Nowitzki made this drawing with the porch on the north side on the street, and convinced Dave Clark. Nowitzki was a very, very charming, very convincing sort of person. He was only 38, well, he was about 40 years old at that, 40 when he was killed. And he convinced Clark that this building with the columns on the side would be compatible. Now, if you're going to have a building, if you're going to do that building and put a porch on it, the porch didn't belong on the north side. The porch belonged on the south side, where it would cast a shadow on the south windows, and those unprotected windows on the south gave a lot of trouble later. But the reason that porch is on the north side was just to appease Dave Clark. Clark, after the building was built, Clark didn't like it, and he thought that Nowitzki did a snow job on him and persuaded him that this was going to be compatible with Williamsburg architecture, which Clark didn't think it was, and it really wasn't. But Dietrich had employed Nowitzki to do a selling job on Clark, and Clark took it. The drawings were completed, and the building was built, and there it is with the porch on the wrong side, simply to appease Dave Clark. It had been a much nicer building, it had been a much nicer functioning building, and the students could have been sitting out there under the shade of that porch on the south side, and that south side would have been much more attractive if it had been on the other side. But Clark was thinking about how it was going to look from the street when people went by, and he wanted it to look like a southern plantation house.
Okay, fine. Thank you.